Part 2. Commons as Living Generative Systems. Part 2 takes a wide-ranging look at significant types of commons around the world. We'll start our survey in Chapter 5 by looking at indigenous and subsistence peoples' commons, the Aboriginal most developed genre of commoning. We'll then move on to gift economies, alternative local currencies, cooperatives, and arts and culture commons. The history of commons in Western culture helps explain some of the dynamics of contemporary commons. So, in Chapter 6, we'll explore the often neglected backstory of commons in England and the protracted, often violent struggles between commoners and kings, the early nation-state, and industrial capitalism. These legal, political, and social conflicts illuminate challenges that commoners continue to face today. One lesson that becomes clear is that commons are not just plots of land or bodies of water. As mentioned previously, they're deeply relational systems. They're not just a resource or type of property or legal form of organization. They're highly varied socio-political organisms that are creative, adaptable, and alive. Chapter 7 will explain how the inner dimensions of commoning make it such an exquisitely resilient, stable social institution. This chapter draws heavily on the insights of my 2019 book with Silke Helfrich, Free, Fair, and Alive, which recasts commons as a relational activity, commoning. Once we introduce these basic ideas, we'll continue our survey of commons as living generative systems. Since the point of commoning is to reclaim social control over things essential to one's life, place-based commons are an archetypal form. So in Chapter 8, we'll look closely at local commons and vernacular culture as important elements of successful commons. Interestingly, this very sensibility even animates countless digital commons in which place is an imagined virtual space. In Chapter 9, we'll look at some of the more notable genres of digital commons, familiar and emerging, that flourish on the internet.